Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Third hour is on. I'm going to be joined by Kevin Posobiec in this hour, but I want to go to a little preview, a little hint, a little peek behind the curtain and under the mask of the left wing in this country. As we've been reporting for a while, and we just keep getting reminders and confirmation of this. We'll go to clip 22 here. The left, their strategy now is to run the most milquetoast, seemingly benign, like wine moms as candidates. And they'll say all the right stuff. They'll talk in sort of vague terms about helping people and families and, you know, just sort of normal stuff that will appeal to low information voters. And then as soon as they're in office, they govern like their Chairman Mao. Now, Alison Spanberger has obviously done that over and above what anybody, you know, would have expected. And of course, the media plays their part in downplaying what's being done or simply not reporting on what's being done. So people who voted for her thinking she's a moderate will still think she's a moderate because they don't know the fact that their entire state has been taken over by communists and basically democracy itself has been destroyed. It's crazy, but that's where they're starting. They have a lot bigger plans. Let's go to clip 22 here. Here's Virginia Governor Spanberger talking about sort of what they plan to do next. She's a CIA agent, by the way. Let's watch.
Do you worry that states, districts all over the country now will just go tit for tat trying to do this, not every 10 years, but whenever they feel the need?
I certainly think that that is a fair concern, which is why absolutely when Democrats take a majority in the House of Representatives, my hope and expectation will be that there will be serious conversations about redistricting reforms and the process by which all 50 states will take on redistricting efforts. But I think essential to the conversation, as I mentioned, in Virginia was our commitment to our bipartisan commission. And so I think it's important that every step along the way, we weren't saying, okay, this is the new normal of this kind of tit for tat. We were saying at this moment, we are taking a responsive and temporary step. And we in the Commonwealth of Virginia are committed to getting back to that bipartisan commission. So I think that that was an essential part of the discussion here.
So that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like right there when it's, you know, these are essential parts of the discussion, and we have to get back to a more fair and balanced and equitable voting system. And the translation of that is we're cheating to eradicate all of the Republican districts in our state. It's essentially what they did. So, like, here's a person who won the election by something like 5%, right? This wasn't an overwhelming victory. This wasn't a mandate. This wasn't 90% of people voting for her because she ran on the basis of redistricting. This is taking a blue state, or a purple state, rather, that it leans blue sometimes and red sometimes, and turning it into a permanent Democrat powerhouse forever. That's what's happening here. They've gone from like half of their congressmen being Republican, half of them Democrat, eliminate most of the Republican ones. So now it's all Democrats. It's crazy, but that's just what they did. So from here on out, if this stands, now a judge has already put in a stop for this because it's so clearly politically motivated and based on nothing other than what would be good for the Democrats. And it turns out that you can't just rewrite the election so that you always win. That's not actually how this is supposed to work. So hopefully the judge's stay works out. But just know that that's Alison Spanberger, CIA agent, who said that when the Democrats win the federal elections, they're going to basically redistrict the entire country. They're going to do to the entire country what Virginia just did, which is systematically and very carefully eliminate all of the Republican representation. So even if your state is half Republican, you'll get about 5% representation because the Democrats have cheated. And that's what they intend to do on the national level. So you can add that to the list that Democrats have provided for us of things like granting statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico so they can unlock 4 extra seats in the Senate, packing the Supreme Court with not from 9 justices up to 13, adding another 4 left-wing justices to the court, reopen the U.S.-Mexico border and grant mass amnesty to every single alien currently living inside the United States. And the advice from James Carville is don't talk about it, just do it. So just lie to get elected and then be a tyrant.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just, I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue.
I know. I love it.
This stuff works, man. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue, blue, blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I know. I love it. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue, blue, blue. I just can't shut up about it, up about it, up about it, up about it. This stuff works, man. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on fan.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour is on. I'll be joined shortly by Kevin Posobiec. I do want to remind you once again that you are very rapidly running out of time to get your official InfoWars merchandise. We will be shutting down in 8 days, and that'll be it. But don't wait. We're going to be selling out of products from here until then. So make sure that you get your official InfoWars branded merchandise now while you still can. Even if you're just setting it to the side and keeping it as a collector's item, soon official InfoWars products will be no more. It is your last chance, and we make it easy for you to get them by giving you a discount, 20% off InfoWars product fundraiser merchandise. It's your last chance to get exclusive InfoWars products, support InfoWars directly, and help fuel the fight at our most critical time. As we are about to launch our new network, we need sort of the biggest booster rocket that we can get right now. You're also getting a massive discount on supplement subscriptions. So any supplement that you enjoy and buy regularly, I suggest you put them on subscription, meaning you're getting it every month, and you get 50% off when you put it on subscription. And you also get a free bottle of either the Ultimate Chill or the Ultimate Energy supplements. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus, while Ultimate Energy supports energy drive and mental intensity. And of course, you get those for free when you sign up for the regular deliveries of our other supplements, any other supplement, that is. And of course, on top of all of that, as if you needed another incentive, you're going to get a free gift with any order at thealexjonesstore.com. Go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And with that, I'm very happy to welcome Kevin Posobiec. You can follow him on Instagram at Kevin Posobiec. He is a field correspondent for Real America's Voice and Human Events with Jack Posobiec, his brother. And he was just in Ireland, or maybe you still are in Ireland, but I know you were there checking out the sort of chaos on the streets of Ireland. He got some very, very enlightening and interesting videos. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, I sure did. Thanks for having me, Harrison. And I appreciate you giving me the platform to make my plea deal here for asylum status. I'm but a wee carpenter from America, and I'm looking for, you know, refugee status from my country, which is at war. So I'm looking for asylum status in Ireland. So thanks for having me.
Well, you'll probably get, I understand the door's wide open. Asylum available for, they'll give you a ride. They'll kill any Irish people that try to stop you from living there. I mean, they seem to be desperate for asylum seekers right now. So how's that going, do you think, for Ireland?
Well, legally, Harrison, anybody that is eligible can be Irish. So technically, you know, so we have, I think, a majority of Somalians coming. And they have been witnessing an insurgency since the 90s. And so technically, they, once qualified, share the same qualifications as any Irish citizen would for the welfare programs. So yeah, I'm happy to put my own cap in, as they say. So yeah, hopefully next time maybe we talk, I'll be an Irish asylum seeker officially.
Wow, you'd be treated rather well. I think they're treated better than Irish citizens. I mean, they get houses paid for. I mean, we've seen, you know, Irish people struggling to get houses. The migrants are not struggling to get houses. They're getting, you know, fully loaded hotels and all sorts of great stuff. And we're sort of, you know, treating this lightly because, you know, the whole thing's kind of absurd. But like, they're killing Ireland. Like, what's happening to Ireland is like really actually very serious and like inexplicable if you actually take their words for it, because we hear all the time that, well, you know, England and all these places, you have to take asylum seekers because, you know, you invaded their country first. Ireland's never invaded anybody. What did Ireland do to deserve this? Just tell us about your experience in Ireland, and have you noticed the influx of migrants?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I certainly have. And I got to say, to start off, that there are so many parallels between America and Ireland. It's astonishing. So if you take liberal cities in America, you know, they're mostly blue and whatnot. So it's the same in Dublin. Okay. And I can't express enough as well how much vitriol I got as an Irish American just visiting. Being that, you know, I am from America, it was unbelievable how much hate was given towards me, and discrimination and oppression, like literally, for being there as a Yankee. Okay. One of the PG terms I was called. And I don't want to say the other ones, but yeah, my goodness, Harrison. So that's what I noticed in Dublin when I got there, especially my reporting on X. I originally went for the fuel protests. Okay. So that's what was happening about a week ago, formally all around the country, where they're experiencing a 60% increase in taxes for their petrol. Okay. And a lot of the cars and trucks over there use diesel engines. Okay. And this is not only for travel, but also to heat your homes. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling in other interviews, just imagine if anyone from the squad or like AOC was the president in America, and, you know, on top of paying for these green new policy deals, you know, it's basically like the Irish are paying $8 to $10 a gallon for gas.
Whoa.
All right. And then you take on top of that, I mean, we're seeing worldwide the Iran conflict inflating prices. So not giving them any relief from that. And then also, you know, as you can see in the B-roll here is another tax for migrants and refugees, asylum seekers, whatnot. So it's just incredible. It's just incredible to see.
And this is your footage that we're playing, right? And you posted this, I believe, saying, you know, you went to visit Ireland and didn't see any Irish people there. I mean, it really is shocking how you just don't see Irish people in these videos. It's all foreigners, like 100%. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And yeah, I joked a bit there in the video. I asked these guys if they knew where St. Patrick's Cathedral was. And a lot of Irish nationalists there are pushing for, just like as we see in Texas, you know, restrictions against building mosques in Ireland and in Texas. So, yeah, they're just all over the place. And again, like the parallels with America are stark and very clear, in so much as, you know, migrants, as we've seen in New York City and up in Maine, they get preferential treatment towards landlords because they get guaranteed rent. You know,
right.
If you or I were to own an apartment building, you know, with 10 units or so, say, you know, would you rather take the risk with, you know, these oppressed Irish citizens who have to pay all these taxes to pay rent every month?
Right. I sort of froze
the EU
there.
Policies. And,
there we go. You froze there for a second. But yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. And of course, we've seen that the hotels will actually bump their prices up because it's guaranteed. The government doesn't give a damn. So they go, oh, I can fill my entire hotel guaranteed for the next 5 months, $400 a room. Yeah, I'll take that deal. And then on top of it, I've seen specific examples in places like the UK, but I'm sure it's the same in Ireland. The hotels themselves are often owned by foreigners. So it's Irish taxpayer dollars paid to a foreign conglomerate so that foreigners can stay in their hotel. It's just fraud and crime on an industrial scale.
It absolutely is. And, you know, a hope shot here would be, you know, you talk about guys like Nick Shirley and whatnot that go after fraud in California and all. And there's I've met an Irish equivalent of that, and it was great to see. And yeah, it's just the same thing. There's rumors that Chinese are coming in to buy these properties in downtown Dublin, you know, unconfirmed. So, you know, don't throw me under the bus for that. But definitely foreigners, the likes of like BlackRock and whatnot. coming in to buy these cheap properties downtown and then just throw a bunch of bunk beds in there and get government incentives to afford for people. And to point out, too, Dublin is the capital. And what did President Trump have to do but clean up D.C., okay, right, here with drugs and crime? So it's the same thing happening in Dublin. All the while, you know, we have the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, President Connolly saying Dublin is safe. Tourism is up. You know, come on down and grab a Guinness with us and dance like a leprechaun. Ireland's never been more welcome for everybody, apparently, except for Irish Americans like me. And they call me every name in the book.
So it was the native Irish calling you names?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the ones that know how to use social media, at least.
Huh.
So, you know, it's a bunch of keyboard warriors. I mean, you take the Irish stereotype, some of the most passionate speakers on earth, okay? And nobody said that to my face directly. I got to say, a lot of the Irish patriots did message me and welcome me and, you know, encourage me to seek out Donegal, Galway, Belfast, Cork, you know, everywhere outside the cities to show what the real Ireland is like. And but aside from that, so, yeah, there's some pictures you could see there downtown Dublin. I see like drug dealers and trash and all kinds of, you know, it's very similar too. Even the architecture, Harrison, is similar, because why is it similar to American cities? Well, it's because a lot of the Irish came to America and built American cities. That's why it's similar looking.
Yeah, I think a lot more people of Irish ancestry live in America than even live in Ireland right now, which is kind of a shame. It seems like, you know, we could be helping them out. We could be helping them preserve their island rather than be replaced entirely by, you know, a giant swath of third worlders. Do you think, like, being there on the ground, what was the atmosphere like? Like, would you say the majority of people were outraged what was going on? Were the majority of people brainwashed like you see here in America? Just what was your sense overall of the general, you know, attitude of the average Irish person?
Well, the average Irish person, I would say, in Dublin is very clandestine and, you right, know, kind of hidden back, especially once they find out I'm American media. And apparently I was one of the only representatives of American media there, right, which was a shock to me. And then they find out, you know, I'm Mr. MAGA agenda with Mr. Trump. So, you know, they were very reluctant. It's either 50-50, either they, you know, everybody will talk to you, but once you bring up the camera and say, hey, would you want to give an interview with me? It's like totally shut down.
Right.
So, or, you know, get some young guys, I was trying to do like a TikTok reel kind of thing, and they just like straight up lie to you. They're like, I love immigration, immigrants, you know, taxes are great. What do you mean?
Right.
So they're facing much harsher penalties, and understandably so. Again, imagine if Kamala Harris or Hillary Clinton, AOC, were in office and they enacted these stiff censorship rules upon us. You know, a lot of American citizens would be behaving the same way and being reluctant to get on camera and voice their opinions. And I found out in particular, again, a shocker to me was that the Irish don't protest as much as we do in America. They have slightly different laws, and it's not like the Black Lives Matter marches and what you see in D.C. like once a week, if not every day. Apparently, this fuel protest with the farmers was the most significant and largest that Ireland has seen since the Easter Uprising in 1916.
Whoa.
So when they do protest, my goodness, you got to look out because they're coming. And, you know, it was an honor to be part of that and to be there. So, but otherwise, you know, it's like they're passionate and they do have strong, strong opinions, but they're reluctant to express them the way we do in America.
Right. No, I mean, it's a problem all across Europe. And I saw two different stories in the last few days where they were saying, you know, the polls show that, you know, 90% of UK school children say that they're nervous about expressing themselves out of fear of being canceled. And it's like, well, it's not being canceled. It's being like arrested, because you can get arrested if you say the wrong thing there. And like, clearly it has an effect. It gets people to be silent themselves. And it's just mm-hmm. tragic that this is happening and people aren't even able to stand up against it. And what's happening in Ireland, it sort of seems like an amalgamation of all this stuff, because we have seen anti-immigrant protest in Ireland. They get kind of brutally shut down. But then you've got this fuel protest, which is made so much worse by the Iran war. So it's sort of all these different damaging, you know, policies going into effect all over the world that are all sort of combining to deprive the Irish people of a future. It's really sick. So why was it this fuel protest in particular that was so big, do you think? I mean, the biggest since 1916, that's monumental. Well, why do you think that was?
It's because it's so steep. It's so steep and it's unnecessary. Okay. So I was interviewing a fisherman from Donegal. Like, the Irish don't want handouts. They don't want to live lazy. They like working. They like farming. They like fishing. They're blue collar champions. Okay. So these fishermen and farmers can't even afford to run their tractors or their boats, let alone heat their houses or feed their families. So it's not asking for much. But again, like, you know, you take the example of the lobstermen in Maine, okay, in the Trump's first administration, when there were restrictions because we had to, the environmental restrictions, because we had to save the whales' breeding grounds, okay? So all of a sudden you have these lobstermen that lose their livelihoods because of it. And it's just kind of unnecessary. And we saw President Trump walk that back in such a way that, you know, these just regular lobstermen can just fish for lobster. Okay. So they're not asking for much, and it's a 60% tax. It's a, it's just this crazy. And, you know, talk about carbon tax. Okay. It's great. Sure. Like, Ireland has a heart for people. They want to let everybody in. Okay. Like, Irish went all over the world. I get it. But at the same time, like, how about Russia and their carbon footprints? How about China and their carbon emissions and their pollution? Like, where's the tax on them? Hey, throw in America. You know, we're how many times larger than Ireland? Why does the EU and Irish accomplices here, why do they impose these taxes on top of the Iran conflict tax hikes? Okay. So, you know, hopefully, and it could end whenever they want to. Okay. You know, and ideally the Iran conflict will come to a closer soon enough, and then gas prices will go down collectively as well. So they're being pinched on all fronts here. And so you even talk about alternative energy real quick too, Harrison, is Ireland's known for the peat bogs, okay? Right. Like the peat bogs, they're protected now. So back in the day, Irish, you know, you used to be able to go in your backyard or back in the forest and shovel out some peat, throw it in your fireplace and heat your home. Nope, can't do that anymore. It's all protected, okay? So you can't even do that. And then I've also hearing that nuclear power is banned in Ireland as well. So, you know, they're limited to one oil refinery, but also, you know, again, with alternative energy, there's talks of thorium reactors, and it's basically a smaller concept of nuclear energy. And it's much more safe. But either way, it's banned in Ireland, but it's not in France. So now what they're trying to do is lobby for these French nuclear power plants to provide electricity to Ireland, right, and not Ireland itself. Again, like another globalist arm, like on top of the UK, mind you, like historically, another globalist arm to control Ireland's sovereignty.
Yeah. And again, you know, you look at the history of Ireland and it's like, can these people get a break already? I mean, my God, they've never done anything to anybody, but they're constantly being put upon. They're constantly being attacked. I mean, their whole recent history over the last century has been, you know, just desperately trying to get out from under imperialism from the UK. As soon as they do, they all get replaced by a bunch of people from Senegal. It's like, what the hell's going on here? And again, the interpretation of this is so bizarre. I've got a story here. It's from a leftist magazine, but you know, it's what you'd expect. As fuel protests sweep Ireland, the left points to imperialism as the culprit. What are they even talking about? They want to blame everything except for the reality. It's like they have this way of saying things where they're like, soaring cost of living, lack of healthcare access, and fragile food systems within Ireland have contributed to a rise in anti-immigrant rhetoric and far-right ideologies. It's like, well, people are being, you know, discriminated against and hurt, and they don't like it. But that's far right. That's Nazi. You're not allowed to believe that. So I don't know. Imperial, is that the problem? Is Ireland being too imperial? Like, what is that? What is going on, man? I don't even know what question I'm asking. It's just like, it's so insane. I don't even know what to make of it.
They don't even know what to make of it themselves. Again, like a lot of these people, they like to caricaturize Americans. Okay, you take the leprechaun, for instance, and they see Trump. They just wrote off Trump ever since the first term. They're very reluctant to accept any of his wins and accomplishments. And, you know, it's been a long time since he's been president. So we have to collect the wins and the losses. But I mean, the Irish are just, I mean, being an Irish American myself, I can confidently say they're very stubborn and thick headed here. And, you know, a lot of it is such the case that the spectrum is so far left that the common sense policies moving forward or being proposed seem to be far right to them. Okay. And that was the case of, I believe her name was Eileen or something. She was making statements in the Dáil recently about just having the tricolor flag, which is the traditional flag of Ireland. Again, it's the same thing that we see in America. It's like, oh, if you're waving an American flag, all of a sudden you're an American extremist. Okay.
Crazy.
So with that, while I was there that week, I did get to witness the vote of no confidence being brought into the Dáil. And for the American audience, that's basically the same as the Capitol building here. It's a parliamentary system with a president and a Taoiseach, but it narrowly passed. All right. And, you know, of course, it wasn't a popular vote. The public didn't get to vote on it. I guess it was only internal. So, of course, the corrupt government would vote for confidence in itself to continue. And however, if it were to be overturned, that would be the equivalent of President Trump having to resign immediately and the cabinet resign immediately until a new government was voted in, which the people had confidence in. So we have yet to see. It was unfortunate, but you know, these farmers protested to such a degree that it caused that vote to be put on the floor. And there were some very heroic speeches made, some patriots stepping up. You know, they were the one guy, Ken O'Flynn, he went pretty viral for speaking up and giving his speech.
Yep.
So much so that it kind of oppressed some female democratic socialists. And it's funny to see, but it's also great to see, Harrison, because, you know, thanks to social media and, you know, platforms like X and Rumble and whatnot, you know, we are able to be connected now. And yeah, a lot of the Irish patriots did reach out to me and give their thanks, you know, and I reached back to them and said, hey, like, whatever I could do to help you guys, just to boost the message that you're already putting together here.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do a lot more than that personally. We won't go into it here, but I really think, you know, I personally am looking to Ireland to sort of lead the way on this, because if any country in Europe, I think, could manage to have the will to stand up and not be, you know, eradicated like they're doing, it would be Ireland. And whatever we can do to help, I'm ready and willing to do it. Thank you so much for being with us. Kevin Posobiec, follow him on Instagram at Kevin Posobiec. He, of course, is a field correspondent for Real America's Voice and Human Events with Jack Posobiec. And go watch the videos of him in Ireland. They're crazy.
Right now is the time to support InfoWars' Twilight. We are shutting down next Thursday night. The InfoWar continues for all of you. The AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. It owns the Alex Jones Network. They won't be able to shut us down. We have fought them, and we will continue on. But I need your support. The supplements, the methylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, it is all incredible, top-rated, so good for you. You're insane if you don't get it. And we're running a fundraiser here. All the original InfoWars products, we're not going to sell once this goes through, because even though we're battling in court, they could come back and say we violated their whatever. So if you want to get original InfoWars gear and the new update, the 1776 line, now is the time. Also, they're running mega sales every day for the next week at Bigley. If you subscribe to any supplement, you can lock it in for 50% off when you buy it into the future. Cancel anytime with one click. Sign up for any supplement subscription. You get 50% off plus a free bottle of either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy Incredible Formulas. Ultimate Chill helps support calm, balance, and focus. Ultimate Energy helps support energy, drive, and mental intensity. Third deal on top of it. Every order gets a free mystery gift with purchase. Biggest sales ever. We want to hire more hosts. We want to expand once this is over. We want to go at least 5 a.m. to midnight every night. We've got big plans, okay? We fought all the way. We rode until the wheels came off. We're going all the way. We're still going to block the onion scammers that got exposed a year and a half ago. They're trying it again. We're going to sue the living hell out of them. Wait till after our guest leaves us. We found incredible information on them. It is so shocking. It's going to just blow you away. Guess what they're into? I don't think you'll be surprised, but it's so bad. You're not going to... I mean, it is the sickest stuff you've ever seen. Out and out Satanism. Torturing, murdering children. They love it. They're promoting it. Wait till you see this. With Will Ferrell, everything. It's all coming up. But I will continue to fight these people 110%. I love it. I'm built to do it. But I cannot do it without your backing and support. So make the decision now, especially the 99% of you, have millions of viewers a day, that never go to the theoliveshowstore.com to get these incredible items, incredible knives, silver coins, collectibles. It's all there, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's a free app. TheAlexJonesApp.com, Android, on Apple, it's all there. It's free. Get it. The show's right there in the center of it. And you get big discounts, everything in the shopping cart when you do it through the app. AlexJonesApp.com. And soon we'll announce the new news site that's even better than InfoWars. It's all coming up. But I can't do it without you. You get all the credit. I need your support now. Firing the bat signal. I want to thank all for your past support. But those that haven't supported, what are you doing? TheAlexJonesStore.com. Stay with us.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knife, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows if there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room here on InfoWars.com, band.video. We're going to get into some of the mysterious disappearances and deaths of scientists and UFO researchers in this segment. But I want to start here with a video of Jim Jordan, who has always been good. He's always been on the right side of things. But a lot of people, myself included, and a little disappointed at the inability of Republicans in Congress to get really anything done. And we've sort of heard rumblings of justice being delivered, but it never actually comes to fruition. But it seems like they're digging down. It seems like they're getting serious. This is Jim Jordan talking about not just the SBLC, but Act Blue and the method that they have used to defraud people, including just America as a whole. And this is what needs to happen. Act Blue, SPLC, the ADL, Canary Mission, Stop Anti-Semitism, all of these organizations, the Catholic Charities, they all need to be shut down. There is no reason. There is nothing about, you know, being a nation that requires that you permit well-funded cabals of subversive elements to dismantle your country from the inside out. There's no reason why this should be allowed. There's no reason, like, it's out of fairness. It's like, well, you know, You gotta let hostile foreigners, have power over your law enforcement. That's just, you know, it's democracy after all. No. This is ridiculous. There's no reason why we should allow any of these organizations to operate. The minute that we sniff the hint of corruption, they should be shut down completely. And really, the people that run it should be arrested. I don't know why we let these organizations run. I don't know why they get away with the crap they get away with. There's so much overwhelming evidence for all of these organizations to be shut down. I mean, the ADL, it goes back to them spying on Martin Luther King Jr. for the FBI before the FBI killed him. Like, they're bad. All of these groups are just bad. Act Blue has been caught red-handed. Jim Jordan gets into a little bit of it here, but even he kind of like, I don't know if he's just being careful and he's like, he doesn't want to be perceived as being hyperbolic because he's not exactly downplaying what's happening, but he's not expressing what really happens to the fullest degree. Act Blue launders money. Act Blue takes people who have donated once and then claims that they've donated 100 times. And then people like James O'Keefe will go ask them, have you ever donated to Act Blue? And they say, yeah, once 10 years ago. And he's got receipts from Act Blue saying they've donated $30,000 in the last month. And they're like, what? No way. That wasn't me at all. Okay. That instant that that evidence becomes available, there should be a crime report. There should be an investigation. I mean, right? What are we doing here? There's literally millions and millions of dollars being poured into our electoral system through this. Why does Act Blue exist? What is Act Blue? It's a laundry machine. It's the only thing it does. It takes in donations and it puts out donations. Why does it even exist? The only reason is to launder money. Why would you need an organization to take money from a donator and give it to a candidate? Can't the person just give it to the candidate? Why should they even have to go through Act Blue first? What is this? Why is this allowed to operate? It's just insane. We just have literal, like, hostile communist infiltrators running organizations that inform our law enforcement or donate tens of millions of dollars to our candidates. And the best we can hope for is that maybe we can twist what they do into sounding like white supremacy so we can charge them for being in the KKK. It's like, this is so stupid. This is all so very stupid. Here's Jim Jordan talking about how Act Blue should very much be next on the chopping block for giant Democrat scams. Let's watch.
House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, who's been spearheading the investigation into Act Blue. Mr. Chairman, great to see you again.
Good to be with you, David.
So 146 times they invoked the Fifth Amendment. What were the questions you're asking them that they won't answer?
All kinds of questions about their fraud, their so-called fraud prevention measures in place, what they did, what kind of money they accepted, all kinds of questions that they just took the fifth on. But understand, you said that's a lot of money, that 550, yeah. I think 60-some million.
568.
It was 3.8 billion in the 24 cycle.
Wow.
So this is literally the money machine for the left, for the Democrats. In 2023, Ms. Wallace Jones responds to an inquiry from Congress and says everything is fine. Then in 2024, they lowered the fraud standards in the run-up to the presidential election. They lowered the fraud standards, and then they don't follow the standards that they lowered. And then we find out right after the election, four people resign and the general counsel is fired when we start asking questions about that. We bring those five people in and they all take the fifth. And then the kicker is what we just heard in the report. Their lawyer, so not Jim Jordan saying this, not Brian Stile saying this, their lawyer says, hey, that response you gave Ms. Wallace Jones back in 23, it looks like you weren't clear, you weren't honest, and you may have misrepresented the facts. That's a nice way of saying you lied. And again, we didn't say that.
Yeah.
Their own lawyer at Covington & Burling said that, and their lawyer happened to be Dana Remus, White House counsel, former White House counsel for Joe Biden. So when you see all this smoke, there's probably a fire.
Now, $568 million just in the first quarter, and billions, as you mentioned, over years. They say the money came from small donations. Now, there's a term called smurfing, where very large donations are broken into a lot of smaller ones to make it harder to follow. Is there any evidence that smurfing was going on here, and that's why they claim they can't get to the bottom of where the donations came from?
And we have some anecdotal evidence where you'll find a donor who says, yeah, I gave $10 online to Act Blue. but I didn't give $1,010 contributions to Act Blue over time. So they'll see, like, so that's one of the big concerns we have is, oh yeah, you might have a donor, but then that person's information, their social security number, their identifier, their passport number gets used multiple times. Where's that money coming from when the donor themselves says, I only contributed once. I didn't contribute 10 times, right. 100 times. So we're looking into all that. And again, they lowered their own standards, didn't follow the standards they lowered. After the election in 24, five people either resign or are fired. And the guy who was fired was their general counsel. And guess what? He got this sweetheart severance package from ActBlue. And part of the deal was, if you're going to talk to anyone, you got to run it through ActBlue first. So he couldn't just come answer. So that's the system they set up. And all that happens shortly after the 2024 election.
I want to switch to another very important story that Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has been talking about. He's telling Democratic Congresswoman in the sound I'm going to play, Rosa DeLauro, that federal grants have also been funding the Democratic Party. Roll that tape.
The Wildlife Refuge System, the administration is proposing steep cuts in that effort. When I look at some components of the Fish and Wildlife Service are proposed for complete elimination, that includes the state and tribal wildlife grants. Is that wrong?
We found organizations that were receiving grants from Interior where 80 to 100% of the revenue of that NGO was a grant from the federal government. And yet those organizations, we were the sole source of their revenue, but they would have a CEO making $650,000 and four $400,000 lobbyists.
Chairman, we only got about 15 seconds, but that sort of reminds me of what EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin was finding out about the billions spent on the EPA grants to nonprofits in the last couple of days of the Biden administration, right?
Yeah, and what Elon found with DOES, with USAID. So, yeah, but one thing the left's good at, the left's always good at using your money against you. So it's your tax money, it goes to these NGOs, and it gets spent on some left-wing cause. Many times it gets funneled around a little bit and gets used to run against the actual candidates that we're opposed to. So it gets to help Democrat candidates. They always use your money against the things and the policies that you care about. It's the phenomenon of the left.
And, of course, the socialists running those NGOs are getting paid millions of dollars. They're fine with taking a lot of money. It's easy to condemn capitalism if you're a millionaire based on what you're getting from taxpayers.
Said.
All right. Chairman, great to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
So there's Jim Jordan just giving a breakdown of just some of the scams going on. ActBlue employees took the fifth in house depositions 146 times in probe on alleged donor fraud. Tell you what, shut it down. But why don't you just shut it down? How about you just go, well, until you're willing to answer questions, you can't be a charity anymore. What? Again, it's just like, why? Why do we allow them to operate? It is so crazy. They have to have our permission. They have to have the government's permission. But of course, the government's the one funding them. I mean, this whole thing is just absurd. And it just goes to show you whether it's the SBLC, the ADL, the Act Blue. It's all just giant machines of fraud, whether they're laundering money or false flagging racism so they can scam more money out of the United States government. Because that's what happens, right? The SBLC pays some white supremacists to go out and cause violence or protest and wave a swastika around. And then the SBLC points to their own actor and goes, look at how bad white supremacy is. We need more money. We need more donations. We need more power. And then they get it. It's all fraud. And we could shut it down at any point. I don't know why we're obligated to allow these organizations to exist when they do not exist for any other reason than fraud. It's just completely insane. It really is. Now, we're going to talk about a topic that's gotten a lot of attention, and increasingly so because more and more people keep dying or going missing or disappearing in extremely mysterious circumstances. The count now, depends on who you listen to, could be up to 13 people related to or associated with all sorts of stuff, but all kind of in the same wheelhouse, whether it's black holes or UFOs, UAPs, nuclear energy, even like medical testing that uses radiology. It's a very suspicious and very large swath of people who have gone missing. And I'm about to show you videos from two of maybe the most suspicious disappearances or deaths. One is David Wilcock. Boulder death probe sparks concern about writer and UFO specialist. And this actually broke yesterday, but it hadn't been confirmed. If you're watching yesterday, you heard me say there's been reported of a death, but it wasn't confirmed yet. Now it has been confirmed. So a death probe in Boulder County fueled rumors that paranormal writer David Wilcock died. Now TMZ reports that Wilcock has passed away at 53. Unspecified sources to report that the paranormal writer has on YouTube and YouTuber has passed away. Anna Paulina Luna announced the death of David Wilcock's passing on X. We just learned of the tragic passing of David Wilcock. We are praying for his family and the loved ones and the millions that are impacted. A death investigation in Boulder County, Colorado sparked a claim that popular paranormal writer and streamer may have passed away. And again, this would be very suspicious as it seems to align with the other disappearances. And David Wilcock himself had commented on that during one of his final live streams before passing away. We can go to clip number 29. So I guess this was his from his final video, the last video that he made. And of course, he is very aware of and suspicious of the disappearances, that the list of which will soon include him. Kind of creepy. Let's watch.
I'm excited to be here. You know, every day that I have on Earth is a gift and a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that. Because, frankly, people are disappearing. Scientists are going missing. Now they're saying they're going to investigate this. The president himself is saying they're going to look into this and see if anything's going on. It's a little bit scary. I got to say, it's a little bit scary. But you guys knew that I might still show up, even though it was last minute and I've had a really rough week. Like, you know, that's kind of like every week. But somehow we keep on making it through all of this.
So again, very, very suspicious that that would be 2 days before he supposedly killed himself. And that's the story that is being reported. Essentially, the story goes like this. The sheriff's department in Boulder, Colorado, got a call around 10:45 a.m. on Monday, April 20th, reporting an unspecified issue. The dispatcher believed the caller may have been experiencing a mental health crisis. Deputies arrived at the scene shortly after 11 a.m. and encountered a man outside a residence holding a weapon. Within minutes of their arrival, authorities said the man used the weapon on himself. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Despite there being no confirmation, fans of the writer and streamer seemed to be affected by the news. And of course, it has now been confirmed. Wilcock, born in 1973, is known for his work in paranormal and New Age spirituality. He gained prominence, claiming telepathic contact with extraterrestrials and presenting himself as the reincarnation of psychic Edgar Cayce. His UFO-related output centers on the disclosure movement, alleging government cover-ups of alien visitations, alien prophecies, and human ascension via extraterrestrial intervention. So, of course, very much in line with the other people who have gone missing. And just like so many others, there it is. He claims not suicidal at all. David Wilcock, this is back in 2022, but he says, I plan on living, not suicidal at all, just concerned about what happens when you prove God is real. And that would put him in a similar category as Amy Eskridge. In these posts dated May 13th, 2022, they say explicitly, if you see any report that I killed myself, I most definitely did not. If you see any report that I overdosed myself, I most definitely did not. If you see any report that I killed anyone else, I most definitely did not. Just like Bishop most definitely did not kill Maria and Gopi and Adriel, just like McLandish sure as F did not blow his own head off with a shotgun, the dominoes are being lined up all over again now. She also said, it's disturbing that I can report this current thing to my inner circle of scientists in the U.S., and some of them are like, yeah, that happened to me. They're just going to ask you to kill yourself and taunt you for a while about it. Just don't do it. Those guys are jerks. Okay, and then she put out a video that is extremely disturbing. And, you know, tell you what, if anybody at all thinks you might potentially in some vague way be next in line for this, go ahead and make a dead man switch right now. You're going to want to go ahead and make a dead man switch with all of your most incredible information. First of all, mail it to us, send it to InfoWars, and you can say, do not open until I die, and we will not open it. But, like, you'll see in this video, Amy Eskridge says, you know, I better disclose soon. I better, you know, publish what I've been working on soon. You know, publish it now. No, it needs to be published now. Even if it's incomplete, even if you don't have, like, the data for it, you've got to publish it now because they can't shut you up if you've already said it. Like, this is something I've always, I don't know if I've ever had any information that would put me in danger necessarily, but, like, I just say it. Because once you say it, what reason would they have to kill you? Like, if you have information they don't want out there, killing you is a way to stop it getting out there. Once you say it, not only will killing you not stop it from getting out there, it might just point back to them. Because if you come out with some bombshell piece of information about a certain group or a certain person, and then you're killed or you die mysteriously, guess who's going to get a lot of attention? So this is my professional advice for anybody holding any sort of secrets. You should just tell them. And at the very least, you should have a dead man switch so that whatever you're holding on to gets uploaded with no intervention. Like, you don't have to do anything. You set it, or every day at noon, you have to enter a code. And if nobody enters that code, it gets uploaded. You've got to set that up. You've got to have it decentralized. You got to have it on multiple locations, air-gapped hard drives, and ideally send it to friends or lawyers. Lawyers also are bound by the law. You can send them envelopes or documents and say, publish this in the event of my death. Just, you got to, I mean, because this is serious. And the last thing you want is to be holding on to some bombshell thing and then die and it disappears. And it's nothing. Like, you know, that's the worst thing that could happen. So let's go to clip number 20 here. This is Amy Eskridge, who was a researcher on anti-gravity technology. Now, her death has been ruled a suicide. She's the one who I just read the messages saying, I will never kill myself. Although, then she apparently did. Let's watch.
I found out that I was being physically surveilled by the following method. My ex-boyfriend and I realized that people had been breaking into our apartment while we were gone together in the same vehicle. And so, like, I'm in the apartment, I'm about to go to work, and I'm like, why don't you take out the trash and scope out the parking lot and make sure it's okay before I go to work? So he goes out there and, like, why is there really nice Lexus in the parking lot? And it has tinted windows that are not street legal. Like, just totally dark, totally black tinted windows that are not possibly street legal. And so he comes back in and we're standing in our bedroom window looking at the Lexus and talking about it. And I say out loud, maybe we should walk over there later and take a picture of the license plate. Because the Lexus is across the parking lot from us, but it's backed in so you can't see the license plate. Within 2 minutes of me saying, hey, we should walk over there later and take a picture of the license plate, we were still standing there at the window looking at it, talking about it. And an Eastern black beanie dressed all in black in his 50s or 60s walked out of the apartment directly across from ours holding a license plate. And he opened the trunk of the Lexus and he took out some tools and he changed the license plate. And then he walked back to his apartment and he put the old license plate on the front patio and went inside, left it outside. And it was literally like, come get the license plate. I have more. I have more where this came from. Come get the license plate. And then after that, the Lexus started tailing me. And every time I saw the Lexus, it had a different license plate. It would be like Alabama plates, a different state plate. It would be random dealer plates, none of which were local, just like cardboard temporary dealer plates, none of which were any local dealers. Every time I saw it, it was different plates. It would follow me to the gas station to go get beer. I would go get beer at the gas station and that Lexus follows me. And even my ex called an Uber once. He called an Uber the Lexus pulled out from the spot across the parking lot from our apartment, drove over to our apartment and said, "Hey, I'm your Uber here to pick you up." The license matched in the Uber app, but they didn't have an Uber sticker or a Lyft sticker. You can't drive Uber if you don't have an Uber sticker. He pulled out of his spot across from our apartment where he lived and drove over there to pick him up and said, "Hey, I'm your Uber here to pick you up." They changed the license plate right in front of our face. Like 60 seconds after I said, "Hey, we should go take a picture of that license plate." And they leave it on the patio, like, "Take it. We have more. Just take it." Like, I'm scared. I'm tired. I'm real tired. I need to disclose soon, man. I need to pull up soon because it's like escalating. It's getting more and more aggressive. Like over the past, this has been going on for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And over the past 12 months, it's been like escalating, like more aggressive, more invasive, digging through my painted, like digging through my underwear drawer and sexual threats over the past, like, fuck, yeah. I have to
and,
publish.
And you got it. I mean, you really do. You gotta publish. You gotta get it out there. Obviously, what she's describing is sort of classic psychological operation techniques. Freak people out, make them seem crazy, so people won't, you know, take them seriously. And that's why they do it in such an obvious way. And, you know, it's not about spying on you secretly. It's about driving you insane and making you feel crazy. Now, she worked on anti-gravity stuff. She actually died by suicide in 2022, apparently. Huntsville, Alabama, where a lot of the major secret science operations are carried out by NASA and the federal government as a whole. But very disturbing stuff. And, you know, fits in with the rest of this trend. She's a little bit farther back, but certainly there is a very big hazard in looking into this type of information. And all I can say is publish it. Publish it immediately. Send it to your friends and wear a camera to document all of this. Because people believe it now. People might not have believed it in 2022. Now, I think people are willing to believe that our government does insane stuff because we see it all the time. See you tomorrow, folks.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.